I want you to be free from anxieties. The words St. Paul speaks to the people in Corinth. We know that 2020 was a year full of anxiety in the lives of so many people. And the result of that anxiety affected how we view our leaders in religion, in politics, and in business. Think about it. If a public figure in politics, business, sports, or even religion lacks credibility, what is the damage that it does to an individual? Or often it causes the loss of moral authority. Think of the scandal of now Mr. McCarrick and what that did to the faithful, not just in the East Coast where he served, but throughout our country. There might be a few reasons why there's a loss of moral authority. It might be when the speaker, him or herself, doesn't believe what they are saying. That which I do not believe, I cannot adequately express, no matter how often I repeat the words. Another reason, the character of the speaker is very important. If a person's character is seriously flawed, his or her credibility is seriously undermined, you just can't trust them. But a third and more common reason is when the speaker doesn't live up according to their own words. Again, recall the cast of political characters, not in Washington State, but out of state, who advocated strict pandemic protocols, masks, staying at home, the social distancing. And yet they were caught getting their hair done or yucking it up at an expensive restaurant in the Napa Valley, sipping Chardonnay, falsely believing that the so-called deplorables would never find out. This is most damaging. We call this hypocrisy, and we know how bad it is, especially in the church, and how often Jesus challenged the religious leaders of his day who said one thing and did another. Which leads to our gospel this morning. The focus is on the authority and the power of Jesus. Here's St. Mark describes the beginning of the public life of Jesus. He describes an exorcism. And then he tells us that Jesus taught as one having authority. In fact, his authority, his credible authority, is foremost in this passage. We hear the people ask the question, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Throughout his gospel, St. Mark relates numerous miracles as a sign of Jesus' power. But his primary emphasis is on the teaching authority of Jesus. In fact, reading St. Mark, we see clearly that Jesus is not the great miracle worker, but rather the great teacher. He came to teach us the way to salvation through faith and Christian living. And his teaching was different from those of his day, the scribes. No scribe ever expressed an opinion of his own. He would always begin by quoting his authority, oftentimes the prophets. Jesus, on the other hand, spoke his own voice and needed no other. He spoke the truth. He nourished the heart and spirit of his listeners. Think from our own lives. Some teachers just provided facts, but others provided vision and inspiration, meaning, direction. Jesus' authority came because he was the Son of God, though people were slow to realize this, and many would never come to believe. But they knew he backed up his words with his actions. Even though St. Mark says that his teaching made a deep impression on the people, he doesn't tell us what Jesus said. This seems to suggest that Jesus himself was the sermon. Which leads us to what we're celebrating beginning today in our nation, Catholic Schools Week, an annual opportunity for the faithful of the United States to highlight the blessings of Catholic education. This year's theme is Catholic Schools, Faith, Excellence, Service. The theme focuses on three priorities that make them stand out. Young people are taught faith, not just the basics of Catholic Christianity, but how to know and live one's relationship with God, our loving Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, in this community he has founded, his church. I work closely with Katie Rickers, the director of our Catholic schools. In fact, we meet frequently each week. Our priorities are grounded in the belief that our schools must assist and sometimes even provide the foundational religious and spiritual direction that parents and grandparents are trying to share in their homes each day. Excellence in academics, where our schools are noted for challenging students, helping them reach their potential. It's clear that excellence does not mean elite. A lesson that I learned firsthand from the Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul, who taught me in grade school, and the De La Salle Christian Brothers in high school. It was clear that humility permeated. And if one was pompous, you would be humiliated. Humility permeated their instruction. And I learned a lesson that education that is grounded in humility will lead to wisdom. Without it leads to arrogance. And we know the damage arrogance causes in society and in our church. Finally, service, the giving of oneself, responding to those words of our Lord, what you do for the least ones, you do for me. Now, a lot of schools are proud of the hours of service that their students do for others, but it's important to remember the why is often more important than what. Though an important profession in life, Catholic schools are not training social workers, but disciples of Jesus Christ. Archbishop Samuel Aquila is the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Denver. He just issued a new document called School of the Lord's Service, a framework for forming disciples in Catholic education. It is a reminder to the Catholic community that Jesus founded the church to hand on and to teach the truth that he revealed and to help us grow in holiness through the grace of the sacraments. Archbishop Aquila summarizes his document: Jesus truly is the reason for the existence of our schools. He wants to guide us in everything that we do. A columnist writing for this week said, the primary purpose of Catholic schools is to lead our students to heaven, not Harvard. Now, I used to say when I was president of Marin Catholic, our job is to get your kids into heaven, but we better get them into a good college before that. Successful evangelization, however, meets people where they are and then lifts them to God. And our schools must do this, because you know as well as I that these are difficult days and people are struggling to seek the Lord with a sincere heart. The bishops of our country wrote a document renewing our commitment to Catholic elementary and secondary schools in the third millennium. In this document was clear the importance of schools. It is the responsibility of the entire Catholic community, bishops and priests, deacons, religious and laity, to continue to strive towards the goal of making our Catholic elementary and secondary schools available, accessible, and affordable to all Catholic parents and their children, including the poor and the middle class. I mention this because I know firsthand the challenges that many of you face making the financial sacrifices necessary to provide this opportunity for Catholic education. You've often heard me speak about my appointment prior to being an auxiliary bishop and later bishop that nearly 20 years were spent teaching Catholic school. And though a number of students from our school may have had the affluence reflected in the county, most were middle and working class kids. Great time and effort was devoted to finding money to help those who desired this education to attend our school. The sacrifice was well worth it. To see students grow in faith and knowledge and service was edifying. In our diocese, we have the Nazareth Guild, which helps raise funds to assist with tuition, but the requests always exceed the funds available. And I thank the many who sacrifice and are generous to the Nazareth Guild. You know, as parents, and especially as grandparents, how difficult it is to guide sons and daughters and grandchildren on the right path, to live a life pleasing to God. Young people, you know the noise that is out there, the voices and influences that are anything but supportive to living a Christian life. It's interesting, in our gospel, the demon Jesus encounters is noisy, full of talk. And what is the first thing that Jesus tells the demon? quiet. It's very clear that silence allows anxiety to become peace. One of the many blessings of our school is that we can each day give students a chance to hear that voice of Jesus Christ in school masses and prayer services and classes and beyond. And in a society that increasingly, and now even with hostility, says that religion is purely private, in fact, non-essential or even useless, the Catholic school classroom allows us to speak and to learn about the one who says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I read recently that in my hometown of San Francisco, that 44 public schools will have name changes. Abraham Lincoln now is deemed non-essential. I think of the parishes and schools we've named after saints. As you know, looking at the history of the church, the vast majority of women saints were holy from very early on. But the saints were men, often led very bad lives. And it was only when they encountered Jesus Christ and underwent a conversion that they began a life that led to sainthood. Think of Augustine or Francis or Peter. What happens in the society in which we live that allows everything but forgives nothing? It is so important that we not give up on people by canceling them out, the importance of conversion. It's vital for our church and that spirit of new evangelization which Pope Francis and Pope Benedict and St. John Paul and Paul VI spoke about. It's the task that belongs to all members of the church. And it's vital that we remain dedicated to the development of strong, faith-filled Catholic men and women who, as parents or priests or religious, will lead our church into the next generation. All parents want a better world for their children, and as Catholics, we want to pass on a better and a stronger faith-filled church. The formation of young people as the church of tomorrow is the obligation of every one of us. And God willing, making Catholic education available as an encouraged option is evangelization in action. Looking back in my own life, my vocation comes from my parish and my school, rooted, of course, in God and my family. It was strengthened in high school and college, a blessing that required great sacrifice by my parents. There were seven of us, kids. My brother serves now as the principal of St. Vincent's High School in California, and I have three nephews, all hoping to attend Catholic school next year. As we continue in our Mass this day, let us pray and trust for the Lord's guidance to continue this great work. And especially, I would hope, to find ways that Catholic education may be accessible to students with learning challenges. We do not want to leave them behind, for they are God's children, and they need our commitment and our help. You and I are called to persevere in our mission to bring the truths of Christ to the young, as Jesus persevered in his mission to redeem their souls. Let us together pray then that we will help our young follow the one voice that matters, the voice of Jesus Christ.